A Mother's Day Reflection on Radical Love. Diane Lukgeb Munson has lived in Winona for 25 plus years. 20 plus of those years were spent with the Catholic Worker. She says she is eager to share how her experience living abroad led to her work of hospitality. She will also reflect on how coming to understand the nature of radical love led her to unconventional motherhood. Diane, welcome.
Thank you all for having me. I'm really honored to be a part of this celebration today. And it was pointed out to me that I need do nothing more than note that love is at the center of your principles here. So I could just sit down and you can reflect on that yourselves. Many of you may know me in part from my 20 years of involvement and leadership at the Catholic Worker, where we aim to do the works of mercy in the context of community, providing food and drink to the hungry and thirsty, comforting the sick, visiting the prisoner, burying the dead. Though I stepped back from leadership nearly 2 years ago with the community, the work has been central to my life and my understanding of myself and others and my connection to Winona. So the reflection that I'm offering today is a bit of the before and after to those 20 years of time with the Catholic Worker. And it is a story of me arriving at motherhood, although I've never given birth, and also of being mothered very unexpectedly at a time that I desperately needed the boundless support that mothers often offer us. And it is my understanding of radical love through this weaving life. The night I moved in with the family, we were all equally nervous. They'd met a handful of white people who had volunteered in San Lucas, but I was only the second North American that had been in their home, and I was intending to stay. Hortensia, the mother of the clan, seated me in the living room for the dinner by myself. The other seven members of the family retreated to the kitchen off the back of the house. Each of the women and girls in the family brought me part of this elaborate meal and checked in with me regularly to see that I was enjoying it. I later realized that they fed me foods that typically would only be fed to babies and hardworking men. They were rich, high-calorie treats. And as the stack of tortillas was steaming in front of me, I was crestfallen. I had hoped to live with a family because I was incredibly lonely, and I wanted to learn more Spanish and be immersed in the culture of the place that I was choosing to live for the next 8 months. It was my junior year in college, and I'd spent 3 weeks living in volunteer housing in this rural Guatemala town, and I was really tired of speaking English with my peers while I was surrounded otherwise by indigenous Mayans. So after mucking my way through a difficult, fractured conversation in Spanish with a fourth grade teacher who I was helping, she offered that I could move in with her family. 20 years have passed since this conversation, and I guarantee I'm not simplifying this exchange. At the end of the school day, I talked to her, although I had very little Spanish at the time, trying to explain what I was looking for out of my experience, and the next morning she came into the classroom and said, "My parents said you can move in with us." I moved in within the week, and that first meal was the last of its kind. I was never again offered powdered milk or hot chocolate. I sat down every night at the table with the family and we ate black beans and tortillas. And that kitchen was absolutely full to the brim with laughter, which began and ended with Hortensia, the mother. I can't remember exactly when she started calling me her daughter, but I do remember how it lit me up. Her claim on me was fierce and physical and altogether radical. She held my hand as we walked through the street. She usually had a giant head on her basket, and I towered over her and the basket. Her neighbors would laugh and make fun of her for her daughter, La Gringa. And she absolutely loved it. She wanted me to come and sit at her market stand with her and help her sell the slices of watermelon that she sold twice a week at market. And she just loved when I used the three words that I knew in Kachikel to count out the change when people ordered their watermelon. She often insisted on maintaining a constant stream of conversation while I was in the shower, which was outdoors and freezing cold. And she mothered me through the most extreme time in my young life. I was thousands of miles from anyone I knew. This was long before cell phones were prevalent. I was away from anything familiar. I had stomach illnesses nonstop. And I was deeply in love with Michael, who was living in Cuba at the time. When Hortensia met my white mother, my actual mother, they didn't need any help translating because they both bawled big, heavy tears in utter gratitude for the wild success of their team parenting. The culture shock I experienced as a tender 21-year-old returning to St. Mary's from living in rural Guatemala for 8 months was debilitating. I felt like I'd lived 100 years, and I had actually traveled thousands of miles through countrysides filled with sugarcane and banana trees. I'd been living with and been loved by people who still wove their own clothing and milled fresh corn every day for tortillas and spoke languages that were as old as the mountains that their people come from. They also lived in poverty that was so extreme, it pushed their sons to leave that paradise for the northern unknown in hope of feeding their families. And my peers were complaining about their midterms. The Winona Catholic worker saved me. I escaped to the Dan Corcoran house multiple times a week, occasionally when I should have been in class. I dreamt of returning to Guatemala, but I found something entirely recognizable on West Broadway. It was altogether radical and inherently familiar. People invited strangers to live in their homes. They shared their space and their meals and tears and laughter. People who had no reason and really no right to love and care for one another built relationships and offered stability and accountability and forgiveness. 2 months after I graduated from St. Mary's, I moved into the Catholic Worker. Over the subsequent 20 years, I got a lot of practice in giving and receiving of all kinds. I watched radical love in action, often as the surprised recipient. So many of our guests at the Catholic Worker found solace around our kitchen table. For some, it was the first place that they felt like they were part of a loving family, albeit makeshift and scrappy and clearly chosen. I learned how accountability is central to radical love, that expectations for your behavior and someone to hold you to them is equally as important as the daily act of forgiveness. I learned to apologize with sincerity. I grew simultaneously firm in my expectations and gentle in my acceptance of how flawed each one of us are. I lived in intentional community at the Bethany House for 5 years, sharing my life with unhoused men, some that joined us for weeks and some that we lived with for months. And after moving out, both Michael and I remained very involved at a very deep level for the next 15 years, having formed relationships with both guests and fellow volunteers that have seen us through all kinds of joys and difficulties in our lives. In the summer of 2020, Michael and I received a number of phone calls asking about housing a young person who was interested in attending college in Winona. The details were quite scarce and contradictory. He was 17 or maybe 18, possibly 19. He needed a place for a few weeks, or maybe the whole time he went to college, we weren't really sure. There wasn't really much to talk about. Some decisions just make themselves. We met Eddie later that week, and he moved in a couple weeks after that. The first morning Eddie woke up in our home, we were all excited and nervous. And so Michael and I made an elaborate brunch to sit on the back porch together, get to know one another, overlook the vegetable garden. I love pancakes in the morning, so we made my favorite pancake recipe and maple syrup and fruit sauce, and we did it up. Stumbled out onto the back porch and made huge eyes at all the food. This morning has now become lore in our household because we now know that not only does Eddie not like to eat in the morning, he finds most North American breakfast foods as silly as many other Midwestern staples and customs. So that was the last time we offered Eddie pancakes for breakfast. Eddie ended up living with us for over 3 years. In that time, we learned that he had made and his mother had died when he was 2, and he was raised by a variety of relatives. While he lived in our home, he completed his college degree in cosmetology in tandem with becoming fluent in English, which was his third language, speaking first mum, learning Spanish at the age of 12. I got to be the model for many of his final practical exams, proudly receiving my first ever facial, highlights, manicure, full makeup, with all the other moms of his peers in the program. Incredibly stylish haircuts and really amazing perms. When he moved out of our home, he found an apartment just a mile away from us, which he now shares with his girlfriend. And our family has dinner together at least once a week. A few years ago, Michael and I were out to eat with Eddie at El Patron. And one of the bartenders, who is a friend of his, asked him over the bar in Spanish who he was sitting with. And without missing a beat, Eddie replied in Spanish, "My parents." The bartender kind of furrowed his brow and then asked the question again, only to receive the same simple, direct answer. I'm loath to confess that in the nearly 6 years since Eddie entered our life, I have struggled to have the same directness about our relationship. I've looked up and down for a word in English or in Spanish that correctly describes our closeness, our familiarity, our history, our commitment to our shared future. And it was really only in reflecting on these stories in preparation for this day with you that I realized how much I really had yet to learn about radical love. In my loving of Eddie, I've not been the mother I thought I would be, the mother I wish to be. I haven't been the mother that Hortensia was to me, which was fearless and unabashed and all in. I have loved him wholeheartedly until my chest aches, knowing. And I know that in this possible eventuality, his life will be catastrophically upended, and mine will continue here with a gaping hole in its middle. I'm his first call. I'm his greatest comfort. I am the mother that he wished for. But it's only in the last couple of weeks that I've started to call him mijo, my dearest son. I've experienced the extremes of radical love over and over in my adult life. And the most impactful lesson has been its utter brazenness. When you take hold of someone who doesn't belong to you by blood, and you intend to make space for them in your heart, you must do so with a force that takes your breath away. We know that the more we love, the more potential there is for heartbreak. And the more we love those who are marginalized by poverty, illness, addiction, migration, the heartbreak is practically guaranteed. We choose to walk towards suffering and bear a piece of it. Anyone who's loved could tell you, any mother will tell you, that a heart filled with that kind of love for even a moment is worth every ache that comes with it.
Are you open for questions?
If there are any, but I don't need to.
Oh, I think there will be.
Yes. Well, the first story that I'll share with you is that Eddie deeply wanted to be here today. We talked a lot about this talk, and I got his permission to tell our story. And since he couldn't be here today because he has an incredibly full life, he's currently also coaching youth soccer in Arcadia. He stopped over yesterday morning to our house to bring myself and his abuela, Mike's mom, roses for Mother's Day. So he's about as sweet as the day is long, for sure. But I think maybe another story that I would offer also is that since Eddie has been here, some using the internet a lot more than I am. So he's a great translator for me of pop culture that maybe I'm missing out on. So he's really, and yes, there are, this talk was very intimidating because there are so many people in this room that do such incredible things, and a number of you are very involved both in bringing him here and are continuing to be involved in the sheltering network and really giving assistance to immigrants in our community that desperately need it. And so it is mutually appreciated all around. I think everyone plays their part, but Eddie has been a particular gift in that whole story. So lived experience is such a gift. And the Catholic worker, one of the greatest gifts of the Catholic worker is doing this work with others. And so what I have learned from hospitality has largely come from observation of other people offering hospitality. And I think knowing most of my friends are mothers, and I feel like one of the reckonings with motherhood is how imperfect it always is. And hospitality is the same that way, that no matter what action we take, there's something we wish we could have done differently. And I think at a younger age, that was really debilitating for me. And at some point, not that you welcome that imperfection, but you have to make peace with it. And so I do feel like that kind of maturity that comes with recognizing it's never going to be perfect and you might do things very wrong and deciding to do them anyways, that definitely does come with time. And just realizing I think doing hospitality in the context of community and then choosing to become parents in the context of community. Michael and I aren't really good at doing things just the two of us. Although we are a solid team, we would much prefer to have that be a bigger circle. And when we brought Eddie into our home, it was knowing that Dwayne and Dick and so many others were part of that team, that it felt, that was why the decision was easy. It wasn't that we were taking on a project by ourselves. It was that we were all going to do this together, which is exactly how it went. So we have never used Spanish as a household language, although we use a lot of Spanglish. There's, particularly in texting, it's become a bit funny. The word radical, that really does, the root of that does come from the Catholic worker, which is a radical effort at its core. And I think radical, much like the term anarchism, can go one way or the other in being very good or very bad, depending on the context. And I love that about language, that radical can mean off the charts, basically, one way or the other, depending on how you're using it and your audience. And I think it means different things to different people. And in many ways, I think love is also that word. And to put the two together, I feel like anyone could give a talk on radical love and it would be different from the next person. And I think that's perfect because love is that way, as is being radical. So I guess that's why my choice. Thank you. I've been thinking a lot this week about stretching. And I think that's where I've been recognizing that I want to go. And I think that would be my encouragement to others, to stretch beyond. And whether it's beyond what's comfortable or beyond what you've done before or beyond what you know, because I think it's always in our stretching that we grow, and it's in our growth that the world is changed. And so I think always reaching. And sometimes that comes in funny ways, I think, and less obvious ways that I think we all have those experiences where you look back and think, oh, just because I took that job, I learned these new skills and now I'm a new person. And sometimes it takes 10 years to realize that it was that one thing you said yes to that felt new. But I think that can take place in all kinds of settings, that kind of just reaching a little farther. And I'm not a yoga teacher, but that would be my encouragement, I think. Stretch a little.
Great. This is a thank you, Diane and Mike, for your leadership, the many years that you were leading the Catholic Worker through hospitality and especially through COVID. They were a gift, they were a blessing, and thank you.
Thank you, Mary. It was for us too. I appreciate it.
We will now take a moment for music.